Good evening, everybody. You guys turn your Bibles to the book of Isaiah. I'm sure that surprises you. Chapter 48. Is this the 44th year of Family Camp? Is that right? Have I been here to every one of them? I know I missed a couple peaks, but I think I've been here to every single one of the Montana family camps. I'm 45 also. 45 was like, that's a big number this year. Man, guys, we are, these 45-year-olds, we're going to be powerhouses by the time we're 90, man. Woo! You're going to be a great team. I was thinking about this. I heard that tomorrow afternoon they're having a young guys versus old guys basketball game. And it wasn't that long ago that I was on the young guys basketball team. And now they don't even invite me to be on the old guys basketball team. It's hard for me to believe. I'm too old for the old guys basketball team. Wow. Family camp. 44 years. It's been a while. But man, what an impact, guys. This has had on my life, in the life of my family, and I know the lives of many that I've had a chance to work with and fellowship with, and it is a great little preview to me of heaven. It just reminds me, encourages me to press on, and how great heaven's going to be. Even here, you know, the fellowship is great, but it's still, there's sometimes, you know, you can only talk to people for so long, and you can only have so many in-depth, real conversations. And think about heaven for eternity, fellowship totally unhindered. It's going to be great. So heaven's going to be great. I don't know if Jeff Bisco's here, but I thought he would appreciate that statement. Isaiah chapter 48. I've actually been assigned three different passages for tonight. So I'm going to take them. I think I'm just going to hit one for intro, one in the middle, and then we'll just have one as a little closing review. How's that sound to you guys? All right, so Isaiah chapter 48. Let's do verse 16. Isaiah 48, verse 16. Come near to me. Listen to this. From the first I have not spoken in secret. From the time it took place, I was there. And now the Lord God has sent me and His Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do praise Your great and glorious name. Father, we are so thankful for Your Word. We're thankful that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Father, we're also thankful that the Word has been raised from the dead and has come forth as the Holy Spirit. Lord, I ask that You be with me tonight as I preach Your Word, that I would communicate it clearly. Lord, that we would listen. That we would come to You and listen. And consider this great blessing, this great gift of Your Holy Spirit. Lord, may You be glorified through this message and through us, Father, as we go out powerfully governed by Your Spirit. It is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Now, I was thinking about this, and I just don't have time to go into all the context here, but Isaiah chapter 48, you just read a little bit before this. This is an amazing, eternal God whom we serve. I think Phil, the very first night, talked a little bit about Handel's Messiah, and a number of years ago, I got a chance to see an unabridged version there in Billings, Montana. The symphony and the crowd put this on, and it was absolutely amazing. I got to tell you, in all honesty, I got goosebumps during this. And recently, it's really cool, actually, because the man who was the director of the choir that night, I've recently had a chance to start to Bible study with his wife. He's since he passed away a few years ago, but I've been Bible studying with his wife. Well, unbeknownst to me, she was actually in that performance that night. And I was just talking with her and sharing with her a little bit about that. And it was amazing to me that night. You guys, I knew this. I knew all the prophecies of Scripture. I knew what they said, but as it was put together with the music and was being presented, they also gave a little handout with for every single one of the main points. There was an Old Testament passage of Scripture and a New Testament passage of Scripture. When I related that to this lady, she had never connected that the whole story had been told there in the Old Testament. Like, and she kind of started getting goosebumps when I was pointing this out to her. I mean, she's been in mainline Protestant churches with music stuff, and they don't believe anything. So to actually consider this message of Christ, he foretold all the way from the Old Testament, all the way through. And I want you to notice here in verse 16 that the Lord was there from the beginning. Jesus was there from the first. And God has spoken, and He has not spoken it in secret. God has had a plan that He has made known, that He put in here so that we could see. His plan is an eternal plan. And He's chosen to speak to us, and He wants us to listen. In verse 16, come near to me. Listen to this. It's interesting, the way Mark Miller closed his message is kind of the way I wanted to open mine. I was thinking, how do we really listen to a message that maybe we've heard 1,000 times? Now, I understand, in a group this size, wow, I'm already having a hard time talking. In a group this size, there are people who are brand new to Christ. There are some people who aren't in Christ yet. But there's also many of us, I look around this place, that have been here a long time. And this can become a little bit of old hat to us if we're not careful. But I was thinking, why don't we listen? And in retrospect, why do we listen? What causes us to listen? The church building in Billings, we have because we have a Christian school there and stuff, we have to have, we're on a cistern, but we have to have special water testing to make sure that our water doesn't have any, you know, contaminants. Thank you, Mr. Simpson. So this is, man, my brain's good tonight. You guys are going to have to help me out here. Good job, Kevin. You're already going. So this is going to really surprise you, but I can't even think of the word contaminants, and yet we were paying $175 a month to have somebody come do this special testing because that's what they required. So I was like, man, I can't think of the word contaminants, but I'm not that dumb. I can figure this out. I'll go do the testing and, you know, pass the test, get licensed so I can go do the testing. And so I did that a number of years ago. Well, every 2 years you have to go back and you have to do recertification, re-up your stuff, get your... You guys are helping. So this is going along well with my illustration. So last year I go to this class to take. It has absolutely nothing to do with what I do. Absolutely nothing. But I have to have 8 hours of whatever of, you know, continuing education. This is good. This is great. I love this. You guys are awake. I like it. That's exactly what it was, continuing education credits. So I started in this class, I was like, this has nothing to do whatsoever with what I do. I was like, I wonder if there's a test at the end of this. Because I don't have a clue what they're talking about. I'm really not interested in what they're talking about. I wonder if there's a test. So at first I was thinking, there must be a test. So I started taking notes. I figured out really quickly, you just had to sign this paper that goes around. Well, as soon as I figured out that, guys, I just quit listening. I'm on Facebook, I'm texting my wife, I'm like, there is absolutely no reason for me to be here except to sign this paper and stick through the whole 8 hours. No relevance to me whatsoever. That's why I can't remember that they're called continuing education credits. Sometimes, guys, I wonder about Christianity. Like, how relevant is this to our life? If it's not something you're going to use, I mean, you asked this question in high school. Why do I have to learn Algebra 2? When am I ever going to use this? Okay. And so when it comes to Christianity, if this isn't something we're going to use, then, hey, we come, we show up, so we sign our paper, so somehow we're going to make it, but we just zone out. Now, the flip side of that, why do we listen? Okay, what makes us listen? What makes us be engaged and interested? I was talking to Mike W. a little bit, and he's like, man, sports is what comes to my mind. We're talking a little bit. If you're engaged in, football season started here. Lots of first games today. Next week is going to be a really great week of practice for all of these teams. You know why? Because now they got film on themselves. They got film on themselves to actually go back and see, hey, what things do we need to work on? What things do we need to learn? If you're engaged in the game and you want to do this, you're interested, you're looking for ways to be able to be victorious. And if we're engaged, what Mark was talking about, if we're engaged in this, if we're sharing the word with other people, etc., I'll come back to some of that. Hey, all of a sudden, there is stuff that I need here. I'm going to be engaged and interested in that. And so Steve Doty likes to ask the question, what are you doing in your life for which you need the Holy Spirit? What are you doing that you weren't doing before you were a Christian? I think that's a good question. But I was thinking about this. Really, don't we need the Holy Spirit to win in the little things? Jesus says, he who is faithful in a little thing is faithful also in much. I was thinking of the ladies here with younger children. And I watched that a little bit, and I'm like, man, I'm glad my kids are past that age. You're in and out, and in and out, and then it's like finally the pass off to the husband, your turn. Okay? And you go out, and you try to not to, it's a long weekend for those kids. But I was thinking, moms, like, you never, ever, ever get a break. I mentioned something recently. Someone was like, you're in the bathroom as a mom and you have the kid like pounding on the door asking. I know. I've been around where my kids do that to my wife. Like, mom. And I was sharing this. Somebody was like, what are you talking about? They come in the bathroom with me. That can wear you down. And honestly, if you're going to do it right and you're going to raise your kids right, you need the help of the Holy Spirit in your life, don't you? And we can go across the board. If you're interested in actually overcoming sin in your life, you need the help of the Holy Spirit. If you're actually going out and you're taking the gospel to the lost and you're trying to rescue people, guess what? You need the help of the Holy Spirit. So, God says, listen. Listen. This is relevant information. God says from the beginning He'd spoken. It wasn't in secret. Now, He speaks of Christ prophetically being sent, but also His Spirit. Guys, for the sake of time, I'm not going to go back there, but as early as Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the surface of the waters. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, come let us make man in our image. Man, I love those early Bible studies. People like, us. What's he mean by that? You were paying attention when you were reading. Come let us make man in our image. Who's the us? Who's the our? From the beginning, God has set forth the message about His Spirit. Go back with me quickly to Genesis chapter 12. So I want to lay just a little bit of groundwork tonight, and then I just want to quickly make this personal, because it's personal to me. Like, I find myself, like, every day, like, I need the Holy Spirit. This message, guys, is for us as Christians. We need this. But I want to just lay a little bit of groundwork first. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, God's speaking to Abram. And He says, I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, I think most of us know this is not simply a prophecy of Christ. This is a prophecy of the Holy Spirit. Personally, guys, I'm thankful for the sacrifice of Christ. I don't know how long you've been a Christian, but the Scripture does tell us we don't want to forget our purification from our former sins. Sometimes you just think, where would my life be without Christ? Where will we be apart from Him? I'm thankful for His forgiveness. But you know, it doesn't stop there, does it? If you think about it, you're forgiven. And I'm thankful we're forgiven for the past. But where do you go from here? It was interesting. My son Matthew got to make a trek with one of his friends from college on a campus crusade for Christ venture. And a couple things really bothered him, as I knew they would, and he knew they would. But one of the things that they told me is, like, they're talking every night. They were coaching these guys up, and they're just talking over and over and over again about how we're just sinners. And every night needing this forgiveness of, well, they are sinners because they haven't been saved. But over and over, it's like this continual need for salvation again. Continual need for salvation. Where do you go from there? If that's where, even as a true Christian, if that's where the message were to stop, was the forgiveness of Christ. You don't have to show your hands if you want to. Go ahead. How many have sinned since you've become a Christian? And that sin can keep you from being able to be effective for the Lord. And so, thankfully, the message doesn't stop there. Because the challenge for every one of us is today. Today, to be able to live for Christ. The challenge is, hey, what about the future? What are we going to accomplish for Christ? And so, I like a little follow-up question. What would my life be like without the Holy Spirit? If the message stopped at Christ and His forgiveness, and we had the sacrifice that He made, but that was it, how would we ever have power to carry out what God's asked us to carry out on His behalf? You know, my dad in his booklet, The New Creation, actually compares where most people stop that message at Christ. But the totality of the message is Christ in you. And my dad just used a short little bullet illustration about, he says it's like being on a football, talking about a football team, and you make it to the 10-yard line, you know, you get into the red zone, you make it to the 10-yard line, and then you start celebrating, you think that's it, like you made it into the end zone. Guys, from the 10 in is difficult. Hey, I was reading something. I wore my Bobcat just to balance out. I never, ever, ever, hardly ever speak. This is probably the first time I'm ever going to say something remotely good about the Grizzlies. But I do have a lot of Grizzly brothers and sisters in this assembly tonight. So I'm. Anyways, I read an article that the Grizz have a special package for inside the 10. They're going to bring in a different kind of quarterback, and just to make life more difficult on the opposing teams, they have a special package for inside the 10. Why is that? That's a difficult part of the field to be able to power through and get into the end zone, if you will. Guys, God has a package for us to be able to finish this. And that package is the Holy Spirit. The indwelling Holy Spirit. We can think about this from a number of different ways, but we know in the flesh, who did Jesus come to? He came only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, didn't He? So He said, I came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It was only through the ministry of the Spirit that all the families of the earth would be blessed. That prophecy of Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, was not fulfilled until Christ sent His Spirit. And so, I'm not going to do a comprehensive proof of this tonight, but it's through Christ's Spirit that the Gentiles would be allowed to be fellow heirs and fellow members of the body of Christ. Let's just go with me to Galatians chapter 3. I do want to lay in, maybe some of us have never looked at the Scriptures on this, so I just want to give you a couple, so, you know, not just making this up. Galatians chapter 3. Verses 13 and 14, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it's written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Associated with the blessing of Abraham is the promise of the Spirit. when the New Testament speaks of the promise, brethren, when it speaks of the promise, it's speaking of the Holy Spirit. You know, look at it, I think Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, the Holy Spirit of promise. Most of us are familiar with Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39. Acts 2, 38, Peter said to them, "Repent, let each of you be immersed in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call to Himself." The promise, the Holy Spirit, was going to be for the Jew and the Gentile. You and your children, the Jew, and for all who are far off, the Gentile. So, you know, you've probably heard this, maybe you've heard this message 1,000 times. But God says, come near to me. Listen to this. And I want you to just think about this for a second. And I need to think about this for a second. The Spirit of the living God has come to dwell inside of you. The Creator of the universe. The God who made this world in 6 days. And remade it with the flood. That God has come to live inside of you. The God who raised Jesus from the dead. That God has come to live in you. Can you wrap your head around this? Can you for myself, I know. Because in my life, it is never a question of the power that's available to me. It's really a matter of the limiting factor is faith. So to come back and build faith, to understand what God has said and buy into this, to recognize the power that lives in us, prophesied in the Old Testament, God had said concerning us, the church. You know, by faith at our immersion into Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit. Do you believe that? And maybe there's a follow-up question. Hey, what does the Spirit do? Go with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Actually, I had a phone call some months back, and a young guy had been being worked over a little, I could tell. I knew enough about his background and his association, know where this was coming from. But he's like, you know, I heard some of your messages, and you were talking about the Holy Spirit, and I just don't really see that. Like, the Bible never says how the Holy Spirit works in our life. Like, we don't have anything that the Old Testament people didn't have. Like, it's probably a fun existence for you. I mean, I was polite about it, and I just tried to work through some things. But in Ephesians chapter 3, just one of the verses I mentioned in this conversation, again, for the sake of time, I'm just going to pick it up. I'm just going to read verse 16. It's a prayer here. It says that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man. Guys, how does this work? I think it's really difficult to understand. Difficult to explain. I'm not sure that in the Bible God spells out exactly how this works, this power, being strengthened with power through the Spirit in the inner man. There's some of our part that I'm not going to really work on tonight. But I was just thinking about this. Some questions, some conversations I've had recently, and this one just came to my mind. Example of photosynthesis in plants. You know, what is photosynthesis? I looked this up, Merriam-Webster.com. That's what I use for my source here. And the biological definition of photosynthesis, the process by which a green plant turns water and carbon dioxide into food when the plant is exposed to light. Guys, we don't understand exactly how this works. But we have a formula that carbon dioxide plus water goes to sugar plus oxygen. But here's something interesting. Chlorophyll must be present for the plants to be able to absorb the light so that they can produce the food. So how does that exactly work? We don't know, but we know it works this way. And when the chlorophyll is present, this is what happens. So I was thinking, for illustrative purposes, you and I were these green plants. God's Word is the light, the gospel of the glory of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is the chlorophyll. And so the Spirit allows us to absorb the light of Christ from God's Word and to transform us, to keep us alive, to give us energy, to help us to be able to bear the fruit of the Spirit. So just in case this isn't clear, if a person doesn't have the Holy Spirit, can they read God's Word and get some really good information? Can they even change certain habits in their life? Yes, but they never can be transformed into the image of Christ. They never can truly bear the fruit of the Spirit in their life because the Spirit is not there to transform them. I'm not going to go into other illustrations, all different ways to think about this, but the two have to be together. Now, we could also say, and I'm not preaching on this tonight, but if you have the Holy Spirit, but you're not taking in the light, nothing's going to happen either. And that's just for free. Okay, you got to put in the Word when you have the Spirit. But the Word, apart from the Spirit, isn't going to transform you to be like Christ. So we might not understand exactly how this works, but by faith we know that the Spirit works. We know that He changes us into the likeness of Christ. All right, that's the first passage. Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55, verses 1 through 3. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why do you spend money for what's not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and delight yourself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen that you may live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you according to the faithful mercies shown to David. Without getting into all that, that covenant, that everlasting covenant would be the ministry of the Spirit, wouldn't it? So, but everyone who's thirsty, and so let me ask you a question. What is it, brethren, that you want in your personal life? What do you want? You know, C.S. Lewis said, if I find in myself desires which nothing in this world can satisfy, the only logical explanation is that I was made for another world. Friend, there are all sorts of indulgences in this world. But they don't satisfy. They don't satisfy the deep longing of the soul. God's saying, hey, if you're thirsty, come. Come to me and drink. He actually says again here, listen carefully. Come to me and listen that you may live. Let's go to John chapter 7. I think most of us know what these waters are. But this is a part of the mystery in the Old Testament. These clues that are here that couldn't be understood apart from the explanation in the New Testament. But the clues are there all over the place in the Old Testament about the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, If there's only one thing you get from this message tonight, I want to encourage you, understand when the Old Testament speaks of water, speaks of these rivers of living water, speaks of these pools, that's talking about the Holy Spirit. Those are prophecies of the Holy Spirit. Okay, if that's the only thing you get, okay, get that. John chapter 7, verse 37, on the last day of the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Scripture said, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And then he tells us what Jesus is talking about. He says, but this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. John chapter 4, a very similar interaction that Jesus has with the woman at the well. Okay. Guys, I don't know where you're at in your life, but this is so real to me. I can't live without the Holy Spirit. I need that life. I need something that will satisfy my soul. You know, I can't get life from myself. I can't get life from my family. I can't get life from my friends. I can't get life simply from the people in the church. apart from the Holy Spirit. Please understand what I'm saying there. God gives us these other things, but apart from the Holy Spirit, there is no satisfaction apart from a relationship that you have with God through the Spirit. You can't be satisfied. This is free for the Christian. Just come and drink. And my dad, in the debate that he had with Chuck Dowdy years ago, a discussion came up about a power source. And the power source was, you know, this huge power of light, right? This energy source that would allow this light to be turned on. And my dad said, well, you still have to, you have to crank on the rheostat, right? You have to turn it up in order to have that power be available to you. But I was thinking, the one that I have in my house, it's like that. It just kind of goes all the way to dim, and then you just turn it up, and it just. But I was thinking, it's a lot more like one that has clicks. So like, you don't have it on. You become a Christian. You say, oh hey, I have some power here, the Holy Spirit, and you turn it, and it goes click, and you think, wow, this is amazing. But how much of that power have you really tapped into? Are you really putting the Spirit of Christ fully to work in your life? And then you go and you put yourself in positions where this isn't enough. You need help. You can't do this. And then you turn, hey, there's another click. There's more. The Lord says, come, doesn't He? Come and drink. Like, I will give you what you need. Brethren, this is encouraging to me. You know, sometimes in the New Testament, the Spirit is called times of refreshing. You know, for me, the first thing in the morning I do, I just start pounding water. If I got very little sleep or whatever, if I just start pounding water first thing when I wake up, I'm filled with energy and life. Spiritually, guys, we need to pound the spiritual water. We need to rely on the Holy Spirit. We need to be in tune with the Spirit. We need to come and drink. You know, I was talking to Jeff Hostetter. I don't drink pop too much anymore, but it was interesting in the Philippines, the hot, humid climate, and that's what they serve. And man, there was a few times I had a soda. And, you know, in that moment, actually, the soda was kind of refreshing. But if all you drink is soda, even in that, well, any environment, what you really need is water. That soda can taste refreshing for a second, but the water is what you need. Guys, the Holy Spirit is the water for our spiritual life. And we need to rely upon Him. You know, for the Spirit gives us instant life and energy. The Spirit, the New Testament says, renews us, makes us new. Every day is a new day. Again, I like what my dad says on this. He says, you know, today you got a blank slate. You got a blank sheet of paper. The Holy Spirit makes it new. You can write on it whatever you want to write on it today. Aren't you thankful for that as a Christian? Today, I can be alive in Christ. No matter what yesterday was, we can write on it what we want today for the glory of God. I'm thankful for that life and energy the Spirit gives us. And I need this life from God's Spirit. Go back with me to Judges chapter 15. Judges 15, a guy named Samson just took out 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. There's some power there, guys. That's supernatural power. That's not, if you grow your hair long, guys, and put it in a man bun, that isn't going to automatically give you that power. Okay, just clarify here. For Samson, we knew that he wasn't supposed to cut that hair. But God gave him supernatural power through that. But I want you to notice afterwards, in verse 17 of Judges 15, came about when he had finished speaking that he threw the jawbone from his hand and he named that place Ramath-Lehi, Then he became very thirsty. And he called the Lord and said, Thou hast given this great deliverance by the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised? But God split the hollow place that's in Lehi so that water came out of it. When he drank, his strength returned and he revived. Therefore, he named it En Hakkor, which is in Lehi to this day. His spirit, literally his spirit revived. But this isn't there for Samson. This is there for us. We go and we wage warfare against the uncircumcised. It will wear you down. It will beat you up. You can't do this on your own. Where do we go to keep... Sometimes I... Matt, you're not the only guy that gets a little excited sometimes when a Bible study cancels. Hey, be tired. Worn down. Hey, you're out there giving it. Where are you going to get that strength from? You know, I was in the Philippines seeing people working out in the rice fields. And I was thinking, man, what would it take to motivate yourself to go do that day after day after day? The heat, the humidity. Like that, guys, think about it. Like that's your job for life. To go work out in those rice fields day after day after day after day after day. Where would I get the motivation to get up and do that again today? But I think it was Jeff this morning talking about harvest for the Lord. It's labor. It's in the heat. Hey, beating down on you. A lot of work going into that. Where are you going to get the strength? You can't do this on... I can't do this on my own. Aren't you thankful for the Holy Spirit? Revival in the midst of spiritual warfare. I was even thinking, why the new creation? I was trying to share with some of the Filipino brethren about the power of the new creation, but... To get excited about the power of the new creation, I think you have to ask the question, why do we need this power? Why did God even do this the way He did it? Why didn't God just send angels? You know, Gabriel can get around pretty fast, I think. You know, make those appearances, everybody wants to... I'm sharing with these Filipinos who love basketball. But you know, in the Philippines, guys, I'm pretty tall. Jeff Bisco is really tall, but I'm pretty tall in the Philippines. So but they love basketball, so I was talking to them about Kevin Durant. How tall is Kevin Durant? 6'11"? Young guys. Let's see. Matthew, how tall is Kevin Durant? 6'11"? Hey, I was right. All right. 6'11". That's tall, right? But, you know, I said, hey, if we brought Kevin Durant to the Philippines and he put on a Duncan clinic and was going to... Like, everybody would be excited about that. They all go watch him dunk. They'd be, oh, wow, awesome. Ooh, and awe. But what if Kevin Durant was trying to teach them how to dunk? He can show them all that stuff. But does it do them any good for them to be able to do it? No, they can't do it. What, guys, you know why God has given us... Put treasure in earthen vessels. So that those of us, we were sinners. We can identify. We were the way the lost is. And God comes and He makes us new and He puts a spirit in us. He gives us new spiritual genetics. He gives us new power. He gives us the ability. He coaches up. He shows us how to do it. And so that other people can say, hey, this is actually possible in my life. So they don't just ooh and awe and oh wow. They're like, wow, there is hope for victory. That's the reason. You know, the new creation isn't... Why would God care about us overcoming sin? I mean, didn't Jesus forgive us for our sin? Why does He really care about that? He cares about that so that we can manifest His righteousness to a world that's lost. You know, the Matthew chapter 11, verse 11, we're familiar with this. Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there's not arisen anyone greater than John, who we heard about the first night, right? But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John. And we say, wow, the least Christian is greater than John. That's amazing. But why? Because John was a Phil did a great job with that opening message. John was a forerunner. Brought the message about the Christ. Setting the stage. Who are we? We get to proclaim a message of Christ after He's come. We have a greater message, and because this greater message requires greater power to carry it. John could do that being born of a woman. We cannot carry this message apart from the help of the Holy Spirit. Is this message relevant to you? I don't know. It is to me because I need the Spirit in my life to be able to do what God wants me to do. You know, Ezekiel 47, one of my favorites, the temple. And there's this water that's just running out of the corner of the temple. And it's this little trickle. And then it goes a little further and the water's reaching the ankles. It goes a little further, it's water reaching the knees. It goes a little further. It's a river that couldn't be crossed. In other words, the further it goes, the more it grows. You understand what the Lord's saying there? The more we give of the Holy Spirit, the more we work for the Lord, the more we get out there and do it, the supply is everything that we need. And we're not going to run out. I need this personally from God's Spirit. Let's close the last passage, Isaiah chapter 35. You guys are falling asleep on me out there. Got to go back to my opening illustration. Get some help with continuing education credits here. These are continuing education credits, aren't they? That's what family camp is that for us. So I hope we're paying attention and aren't just texting. And yeah. Anyways, Isaiah 35. Read verses 1 through 10. I think it's just a great summary, guys, of... It's a prophetic summary. It's a beautiful prophecy of the Holy Spirit in our lives before the Holy Spirit ever came. Isaiah 35, beginning in verse 1. The wilderness and the desert will be glad, and the Arabah will rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It will blossom profusely and rejoice with rejoicing and shout of joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Encourage the exhausted and strengthen the feeble. You might recognize that from the New Testament. Say to those with anxious heart, take courage, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. The recompense of God will come, but He will save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Guys, isn't that where we were? Isn't that happened to us? Oh, and isn't that what we're engaged in with the nations? Then the lame will leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb will shout for joy. For waters will break forth in the wilderness and streams in the Arabah. The scorched land will become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals, its resting place. Grass becomes reeds and rushes. And a highway will be there, a roadway, and it will be called the Highway of Holiness. The unclean will not travel on it, but it will be for him who walks that way, and fools will not wander on it. No lion will be there, nor will any vicious beast go up on it. These will not be found there, but the redeemed will walk there. And the ransom of the Lord will return and come with joyful shouting to Zion, with everlasting joy upon their heads. They will find gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. I just one final point, just quickly. There's a highway that leads to life. The highway of holiness. The unclean won't walk there. You know, it's... my family. Sometimes I just like to call my family members Wilson. So I'll see Matthew and say, hey, Wilson. Sometimes I'll see Julie, I'll say, hey, Wilson. Matter of fact, in my phone... Well, never mind. Anyways. Hey. But you know, the Spirit has a first name. Holy Spirit. He's Spirit of holiness, isn't He? He makes us holy. He's the one who allows us to walk on this highway of holiness. So the Spirit not only gives life, but He empowers us to overcome sin and to be holy. We walk by the Spirit. There is that battle of the flesh versus the Spirit. We can't win this without the Holy Spirit. So we walk by the Spirit, and the Spirit empowers us to overcome the flesh. Because I can't do this by myself. Aren't you thankful for the help of the Holy Spirit? And, you know, Mark hit on this too. But nobody accidentally gets to walk on this highway of holiness. Fools don't wander on it. Nobody accidentally receives the Holy Spirit. So if you ask somebody, hey, when did you receive the Holy Spirit? And they don't know. They don't have the Holy Spirit. Nobody accidentally receives the Holy Spirit. And nobody accidentally keeps the Holy Spirit. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is a choice. And fools don't wander on this road. This is something you have to want. So I'll just ask a few questions. Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? Are you showing up in the class saying, oh, well, there's no test? I'm just going to sign my name and I'm out. Do you want more out of this life? Do you want to be victorious in the spiritual battle? Do you want to be faithful till the end? Do you hunger and thirst for righteousness? Then you need the promised Holy Spirit. Acts 2:38 and 39 talked about it. I'm going to say it one more time. You know, Peter said to them, repent. They wanted to know, brethren, what shall we do? What do we need to do? They understood that the Jews there on Pentecost, that they were in trouble with God. What shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent, and let each of you be immersed in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call to Himself. Thinking, people get this all mixed around, and I hope we don't as Christians. But sometimes it's like I think of it like this: there's the infomercial comes on, and it sells you on these. My Achilles tendons have been killing me, so I'll just use that as an example. There's this infomercial, and if you buy these particular insoles, man, your Achilles tendonitis will be gone. Hey, I'm in, man. What's the price? Tell me. Oh, and by the way, you get this special bonus, and you know, it'll help out with your plantar fasciitis or whatever. I don't know. Okay? So, hey, I just want this Achilles tendonitis problem solved. Get me those insoles. I'm willing. So, I think a lot of times people think of, hey, forgiveness of sins. This is what I want. And, you know, the infomercial, they always have this bonus thrown in for free. And think of the Holy Spirit as just this little free bonus thing on the side that I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but I'll throw it in the drawer until it gets thrown away. Okay. That is not. The Holy Spirit is what was prophesied from the very beginning. Okay. Christ said, I was there. I've spoken of it, and it wasn't in secret. Okay. God's Spirit, as early as Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, says it was going to be for us. The Holy Spirit is the promise of God. God lives in us. Brother, I am absolutely convinced that if I believe that today, that if I wrap my head around that, and if I will click and click and click and click, whatever the rest of you guys do in your life, I am convinced that if I understand that and believe that, I can turn this world upside down for Christ. I don't like to be alone, so I'd like you to buy in with me. Join me in this. God lives in us to give us life, to renew us, to make us holy. What a promise. What a blessing. What a gift. I need the Holy Spirit. Oh, how I need the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit.